You are listening to a sermon by Paul Thiessen, recorded on Sunday, March 14, 2021, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So the Old Testament reading today is distinctly sobering and involves one of our most primal fears, snakes. The Israelites had been on the march through what seemed a never-ending desert wilderness and not surprisingly were discouraged and bitterly complaining. I find it difficult to be critical of their complaining, frankly, as the weather was undoubtedly searing hot and dry, as temperatures in that part of the world can soar to over 50 degrees. The food they received was manna, the identity of which is contentious, but said to be highly nutritious and found on thorn bushes in the Middle East. Its origin is thought to be from the mealyworm T. manipara, which feeds on the tamarisk tree, which grows in that part of the globe, and excretes a sweet crystalline substance containing a carbohydrate called trehalose, which is about half as sweet as sugar. It is one of the few naturally occurring molecules that is sweet and was described as, quote, white like coriander seed and tasted like a wafer made with honey. It congeals and falls to the ground, but rapidly deteriorates. So Moses warned them not to hoard manna, as it had a very short shelf life and should not be stored overnight, or it bred worms and rotted. That's from Exodus 16:20. God's response to their complaining was very stern indeed, as he afflicted them with poisonous snakes, which are probably one of the several species or varieties of vipers that live in that region of the world and keeps you constantly vigilant if you're walking around in sandals. One can certainly sympathize with the children of Israel when they expressed uncertainty as to where they wanted to be, in the desert or back in Egypt. In Egypt, they may have been enslaved, but there was at least abundant food and water. As we read in Numbers 11:5, quotes, "If only we had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. And now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." End quote. The Israelites therefore began to long for the good old days back in Egypt, as in their present state, the past was taking on an increasingly rosy hue. I am reminded of when I was in the Ukraine in the early 90s. After the fall of the wall in 1989, when a capitalist economy was very slowly emerging from the rubble of the communist system. The transformation was accompanied by much pain and hardship. Things had undoubtedly been bad under communism, with chronic shortages of many consumer goods and with drastic reductions in personal and religious freedom. But at least life was more predictable and certain. I was there, of course, on medical teaching programs. And when I was in the Crimea for a few days teaching in their hospitals, I was at dinner with about a dozen Ukrainian colleagues and so was listening to them debate the current state of their country. The conversation was laced with liberal complaints about the severe shortage of fuel and consumer goods and services. At the end of the meal, I spontaneously took a straw poll and asked whether they preferred the present state of affairs or wished they could return to life under the communist regime. To my surprise, the vote was 50-50. Freedom of thought and conscience were not ranked as highly as I had imagined. Shortages of consumer goods figured much more highly in their complaining. The Israelites immediately turned repentant. God in turn did respond, but not in the way that we might have expected. One might surmise that if God wanted to answer their entreaties, he would simply cause the serpents to slither away to their underground lairs. But no, that was not God's plan. Instead, he commanded Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who was bitten could look up and live. Verse 9. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. End quote. So deliverance came, but not as they had expected or hoped. To be saved, they needed to make a decision as to where they would look. So what can we learn from this story in 2021? Psalms 107, 19 and 20 say that, quotes, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. God saved the Israelites from death by snake, which raises the point of what God wants to save us from now. The whole 40 years in the desert seems to have been one long lesson in teaching the Israelites how to see with the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith are different from our mortal gaze. And in the desert, the Israelites were being taught that a rock can produce water, that sufficient nourishment can come from thorn bushes, and that vast armies can be defeated when one just stands still and trusts God. Perhaps the pandemic is an opportunity for us to learn where to look and how to see the world anew. The good news to be derived from today's passage is that when faced with a situation that seems overwhelming, there is hope for redemption. But just as God answered the Israelites in a way they were probably not expecting, even so, our salvation may not come in a form that initially appeals to us. The pandemic has forced many of us to stop our frenzied lives and discover the value of stillness and solitude. It has allowed, well, actually forced, us time to reflect on what was meaningful in our former life and what we are better off doing without. It is as though a reset button has been pressed, giving us the opportunity to envision a better life in the future. The Israelites were punished for their ingratitude. I'm sure they were grateful upon their initial exodus from Egypt, but certainly there are situations such as the one they found themselves in with the snakes where gratitude would be false and forced. Gratitude, however, is better developed in adversity than in times of plenty. Initially, it may feel like trying long unused muscles. For example, while missing the opportunity to meet formally as a church in person, I began to notice an important silver lining. It has given us the opportunity to reach out and include those scattered in faraway places whom we would never otherwise see in person. That increased personal connectedness from afar is a real but previously hidden blessing. This was illustrated to me this past week when I participated in a meeting of six of us in our newly formed art committee, of which Catherine Cooper is a member. Catherine lives in Natchitoches, Louisiana, not exactly in our immediate neighborhood. Not only was she able to attend and actively participate in the discussion, but she took the minutes. That would not have happened in pre-COVID times and is part of what I see as a Zoom bonus. Think of the others we can now connect with virtually, this being what I consider manna that has fallen on us in these difficult COVID-afflicted times. So let us be open to recognize and acknowledge some of the positive and unexpected bonuses which God showers on us in adverse times. God never leaves us or forsakes us. And as the psalmist reminds us in 107, verse 21, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Amen.